Good morning. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the joy of coming together in this time and in this place, Father, to know you better. I pray for myself. I pray for every heart here, Father. Would you move amongst us powerfully today? I pray that your spirit would fill this place and our hearts would hear the great call to follow Jesus Christ. I thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I read an incredible article this week about the importance of adventure in your life. And the article started with this incredible quote from Eleanor Roosevelt. It said, "The purpose of life is to live it, to taste experience to the utmost, to reach out eagerly without fear for newer and richer experience." And the point of this article was that we grow and become our very best selves when we take advantage of new adventures. And the article went on to give us 5 reasons that we should all be looking to embrace new adventures in our life. And this is what it said. 1, we rarely try something new. What happens is we are creatures of comfort, and we like familiarity, we like routine, and we fall back into what's familiar and safe. They said approximately 42% of Americans can't remember the last time they tried an adventure. We default to routine rather than trying something new. The second reason they said is that new experiences, when you talk to people about what their bucket list is and the things they want to do before they die, at the top of these bucket lists are new experiences. And it's things like going to new places or going on excursions they've never gone on. They always say, one day I want to do this, right? These adventures top the list of the bucket list, but they're all these one day things. And they said more than half of Americans list these things at the top of their bucket list. Said 3, sharing our adventures with other people makes them more enjoyable. What happens is when we engage in positive activities with our friends, we actually experience more enjoyment out of it. We actually have a better time and we get more out of the event when we do it with other people. The 4th reason they said is that experience makes us happier in the long run. What happens is they have all this research that shows that people who try new experiences and try these variety of ideas and adventures and excursions are more likely to retain positive feelings than people who try fewer things. They said even the littlest experiences, the littlest adventures have a huge impact on our level of joy in our life because good memories lead to happier life emotions. And here's the last one they said. They said, new experiences can change how we view time. What happens is when we actually embrace adventure and we normalize doing things that are adventurous, it changes our perspective because it interrupts routine. It interrupts our everyday flow of life, and our bias for the familiar, that default that we want to go back to comfortable, actually affects how fast we think time goes by. They said, the more familiar the world becomes, the less information your brain writes down. The less information your brain is seeking to store, so what happens is it feels like time is moving more quickly and passing by. Says it's why we look at life that feels like it speeds up as we get older and why childhood summers seem to drag on forever. That old age slips by while we're dozing. It just slips us by. And what I love the most about this article is this call of adventure that it says. It says it's necessary for living the very best versions of our life, and they're just waiting to be lived through adventure and discovery and the things that we feel challenged to do. But what I love the most about it is when you read about the life of Christ and when he called people to follow him, he always called them into a big adventure. He always invited them into a life they'd never experienced before. Christ never met people and said, okay, we're going to get really, really comfortable. We're going to create the best routine that we can. You're going to build a life that just feels safe. You can't find that anywhere in the life of Christ. And he never called people to a life that was easy or predictable. He never called people to build like these fences and hide themselves in and to be as safe as possible. What he did was he invited people to follow him on a brand new adventure, something they'd never experienced before. And we're going to study that today, because when you look in Matthew's gospel, you see this picture of what it was like when Christ called the very first followers who followed him. This is what it says in Matthew 4, verse 18. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. He said to them, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men and women." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called to them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now, let's put this into context for a second, because this is a little bit historically out of our context, and let's just picture what's going on here. Jesus is out and about. He's walking by the Sea of Galilee. It's a thriving area, and he sees Peter and his brother Andrew, and these two guys have made their lives as fishermen. That's their training. That's their background, but it's not a very glamorous job. Have you been around fish before? They don't smell great, right? Like, they've made their living on the sea. They work hard and long hours, but it covers their needs and it puts food on the table. There are days of surplus when they have lots of fish and the market is good and people are buying fish, and they have long periods of lack where nobody's buying fish. There aren't fish to be caught, and they know what it's like to go without. So they know what it is to have what they need, and they know what it's like to be in positions of lacking. They're just everyday blue-collar guys out there working their butts off, trying to make ends meet, working in the outdoors with their hands. But then Jesus comes up to them. They're out on their boat fishing. Jesus sees them, and he calls them to this whole new way of life. And it's two words. It's very simple: follow me. Now, what I love about this is he just says, follow me. Instead of spending your days out there working on the sea and trying to catch fish, he's like, I'm going to give you a whole new job. I'm going to change your job description. Instead of searching for fish every day, you're going to find men and women who are far from God. Because Christ came into the world with a mission, right? To seek and save those who are lost. And he says to Peter and Andrew, I'm inviting you on this new adventure with me. Something that's never been done. It's all new. It's brand new. I'm inviting you to be part of this adventure. And then their response is super simple. They followed. Like, Jesus says the imperative, follow me, and their response is they literally follow Jesus. They didn't ask a bunch of questions. They didn't have, like, this list of demands. Like, Jesus, here's what we're going to need to follow you. Like, here's what we're going to need to happen first before we make this transition. Like, I'm going to need a real clear outline of what it's going to look like and where we're going to go and what's going to happen. They didn't go back and forth, like, negotiating with Jesus. They just said yes. They said yes to this command to follow him, and they immediately followed him. They immediately stopped doing what they were doing. They left their nets behind, which is super symbolic because these nets were the tools of their trade. They lived and died by these nets because they couldn't catch fish without them. But they literally dropped these nets, this source of livelihood, and they went with Christ. They just immediately dropped what they were doing and followed him. And then they don't go very far. Just like shortly down the beach, Jesus comes upon another two brothers who, James and John, are with their dad Zebedee. They're out in the boat. They're mending their nets, trying to get back in there. And just like Peter and Andrew, they're fishermen. They've made their life living on the sea, and Jesus calls them. And in the same way, they literally drop what they're doing, and again, they respond with a yes. They drop these nets, they leave the boat, they leave their dad, and they followed Jesus. They left behind this whole way of life that they knew and took on a whole new life following Christ. These four guys, Christ saw them, met them where they were, and called them to follow him on this whole new adventure. They stepped away from what was routine. They stepped away from what was comfortable. They stepped away from this day-to-day life that they had created for an entirely new life with Jesus. But there's a couple things I find real fascinating about this. Number one is this. When Jesus came into the world, like, there were religious people in the world. Like, there were people who knew God and had been studying the Old Testament, and there was the temple, and there were priests, and there was sacrifices, and they had all of these traditions that they'd been upholding. And the very first people Jesus called isn't the religious people. Like, he doesn't show up at the temple and call the religious leaders and be like, all right, guys, I'm here. We've got work to do. Let me tell you what it's going to look like. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Let's go do some awesome stuff. He doesn't do that. Like, he doesn't show up to the priest and say, all right, stop doing what you're doing. I'm going to change this whole idea of sacrifice. We're going to look at it different. Let's go. We've got an adventure. He doesn't pick the people that seem likely. He doesn't pick the people the world would have said, yes, that's your team right there. You go get them and include them. He doesn't pick them. Instead, he finds these four guys who are out on the sea fishing, everyday people that had been looked over again and again and again their entire life. They were part of the crowd. They were part of people that got into the mix of just everyday life that people stopped looking at, but Christ saw them differently than everybody else did. These guys who were just fishermen became so much more when Christ looked at them and invited them to be on this adventure. And we don't remember them today because they were fishermen. We don't remember them because of this way of life that they've made. We remember them for who they became. We remember them now, thousands of years later, by who they were when Christ called them and they dropped everything to follow him. They became remarkable in history, not because of their training as fishermen. They became remarkable because of who they became in Jesus Christ. These bold champions that helped start the church that we follow today. They got to be part of such an incredible adventure that here we are thousands of years later still talking about them and learning from what Christ did in their life. But here's the other thing that I find remarkable. One, it's remarkable that Christ saw them and called them, but then second, they all responded with a yes. They all said yes to following Christ. Now, I just think about for a second, like, what incredible faith that would have taken. Like, your life is dependent on you making money and living and eating and having this job and having a source of income and having a safety net to fall back on in times that are hard. And they literally dropped their tools. They left their nets behind to follow Jesus. And this faith is an incredible example of what it means to know Christ. Because we don't look at faith and say it's this blind leap into the future. It's this blind leap into the unknown. We look at faith and say faith is a way of knowing that these guys knew Christ. They met him, and what they knew about him in this interaction, in this meeting that they got to know him in, gave them the courage to step away from what they knew into a whole new way of life. What they knew about Christ gave them this sense of boldness to leave behind what they knew and start a whole new life with him. And because of this incredible faith, they got to be part of an incredible time in history. I mean, just think about it for a second. Christ came into this world, and he walked, and he talked, and he lived, and he met with people, and he did all these incredible things, and these guys that Christ chose out of everybody, he could have picked anybody, and these are the guys he picked to disciple, to lean into and say, let me teach you about what a life with Christ is supposed to look like. Let me model for you what faith is supposed to be, because Christ's time here on earth was short. And there were people that were going to need to know Christ in such a remarkable way that they could keep talking about him, what they'd seen, what they'd experienced, and what they'd learned, even when he was gone. But think about it for a second. We have a historical perspective. We get to look back on history and see what their yes meant. Because when Peter said yes to Christ, he had no idea what his life would become. I mean, how could he know that one day Christ would call him out into the open sea to walk on water? How could he know that he would say yes and literally do what nobody could do until he got scared and then he started sinking and Christ reached him and pulled him out? He had no idea that he would be there to experience the incredible power and compassion of Jesus Christ firsthand. How could he know that one day he would be there to see Christ heal the sick, to give sight to the blind, to help those who are hurting and hungry and in need? He never could have known that a dark day would come when he would deny even knowing who Christ was. And there's no way he could have guessed that Christ would forgive him anyways. That Christ would look him in the eye and say, Peter, do you love me? And Peter would say, yes, Christ, of course I do. And then Christ would say to Peter, then here's what I want you to do. I want you to go feed my sheep. I want you to go lead this church. I want you to go do incredible things in the name of Jesus Christ. How could he know that he would stand up one day and talk about Jesus Christ in such a powerful way that thousands of people would hear the message of Christ and say, I'm in, I want to follow him? That in one moment in time, thousands of people would give their life to Jesus Christ. How could he know that Christ would use him in that kind of way, that he'd be called to change his thinking? And all the things that he'd learned over the years, that Christ would show up and say, let me teach you something new, Peter. Let me teach you something new about how it's going to look, because God doesn't show partiality. The world does. Tradition does. Religion might, but God doesn't. And that Peter would learn this lesson, and that he'd be there to see a man named Saul changed from persecuting the church to becoming one of the greatest evangelists the church would ever know. How could he know that his story would be talked about thousands of years later, that he would be a crucial part of the church that Christ was going to build? He had no idea of these things, but he knew Christ, and he said yes to following Jesus Christ. And because of that yes, he got to live a life that wasn't always easy. It wasn't comfortable. It wasn't safe, but it was filled with noble adventures. It was filled with incredible work, and he got to live a life he never could have dreamed possible, all because he said yes to Jesus Christ. How about John? John and his brother James. How could John know that when he said yes to Jesus Christ, what his life would become? That there would be a day when all of his friends would be gone, all of the disciples would be gone, and he'd be one of the last guys standing that knew Jesus Christ. How could he know that he would outlive all of them? That he'd go on to teach and preach, and he'd be in a place called Ephesus and build the church and spread the name of Jesus Christ? That he'd go on to spend a lifetime reflecting on who Christ is, the time he'd spent with him, all these things that he'd learned, what he saw, what he experienced, and he'd write a book that would become so influential that thousands of years later, people would still come to know Christ through these words that he got to write down on paper. That his gospel would help us have a better understanding of who Christ is. That the Christ we know is the image of the invisible God. That the Christ we are invited to follow was with God in the beginning, and that all of creation is connected back to Jesus Christ, this man that John said yes to following. That this Christ he knew was the eternal God who came into the world to share grace and truth and would be the light and the life of all who would follow him. John didn't know those things would come when he said yes, but he said yes because he knew Christ, and because of that yes, he got to live a new adventurous life that changed everything about what he knew it was to be a man and follow Christ. Here's what all four of these guys saw. They saw a faith that was so irresistible that they were willing to leave everything behind to follow Jesus Christ. And friends, this is why it matters for us. Because just as Christ showed up in the life of these four guys and said, hey, follow me, we've got some awesome things to do, he shows up in our life. Christ shows up in our life, and he looks at us, and he knows us, and he sees just not who we are today, but who we are becoming. The men and the women that he's given us all this potential to be, to do his good work in the world. And he says, won't you follow me? He reaches out his hand to all of us. And he says, adventure is waiting to be had. There's a new life that you can't even imagine what it's going to be if you say yes to following me. And we don't always know what saying yes to Christ is going to look like, right? We don't have the historical view of our life. We can't look 20 years forward and say, okay, I know it's going to be this, and I know it's going to be that. But what we do have is a way of knowing Jesus Christ. And when we know Christ in the right kind of way, it gives us the faith and the courage to say, yes, I'm in. Let's go. I want to be part of this adventure. I want to see what you are going to do. I want to follow you and know what it's going to be. We don't know what it'll look like in the future, but here's what we know right now. We know that a life following Jesus Christ will never be wasted. We know that a life spent with Christ, it won't always be easy, but it will always, every single day, be worth it. We know that a life following Christ will be a call to do his good work in the world, and that there is no more noble task that we could be a part of. Friends, we know that when we say yes to Jesus Christ, we'll never be disappointed. We know that we won't be let down, that in Christ we are invited into an incredible adventure, one that will grow our souls and mature us into more than who we are today. Because Christ finds us where we are, but he doesn't leave us where we were. Christ finds us right where we are today, but at the end of our adventure, we will not be the same men and women that Christ called to follow him. We will be better. We will be more noble, mature souls who have found him and to do so much more than we ever thought possible. Here's what we're saying yes to. When Christ says, follow me, here's what we're saying yes to. Number one, a new life. We're saying yes to a new life with Jesus Christ. Because when we give our lives to Christ, when we say, yes, I'm in, I'm following you, I want to go where you're going, I want to do what you're doing, I want to be part of this awesome adventure, what we're saying is, Christ, work in me. We're saying, Christ, in all of me, my heart, my mind, my soul, my everything in me, I want you to be a part of it. I'm yours. Do your good work in me. And what happens when we say yes to that is we start recognizing, who am I looking to shape my life? Who am I looking to make the hardest decisions I've got to make in my life? That there are parts in me that need to change. There are parts in me that aren't noble, that aren't good, and Christ needs to have his way in me so that it's less of the junk that I came into the world with and more of his goodness, more of his grace, more of his life and truth shining into us. That my soul needs Jesus Christ. That I want to be defined not by who I was, but who we can become in the name of Jesus Christ. We're saying yes to a life that becomes defined by faith, a life that gets to know Christ more and more and more. And what happens is we respond internally with faith. When Christ says, follow me, we say, I know you and I want to go. But then externally, we respond with baptism. Baptism is such a cool thing because it's this outward expression of an internal commitment that we've made in our heart. When we're baptized, what we're saying is this: I've accepted Jesus Christ into my life, and I am going down under the water to identify with Christ's death on my behalf. And I'm coming up out of the water identifying with Christ's resurrection, that in him my sins are gone. They're washed away, and I get to be this new creation, and a new life has begun in us. That the old is gone, and I'm a new person in Jesus Christ. I'm literally saying I am dying to an old way of life so that a new way of life in Jesus Christ can be part of who I am. And baptism is an awesome celebration of the commitment that we've made to Jesus Christ. When we say yes to following Christ, the next step is saying yes to baptism, that I want to identify with what Christ has done on my behalf, and I want to be a new creation in him. If you haven't had a chance to say yes to baptism yet, I want you to pray about it. We're going to do baptisms in a couple of weeks, and if it's something that you've been thinking about, praying about, and God's been tugging at your heart about, sign up. It's an awesome adventure that we get to celebrate together what Christ is doing in you and the new life that's going to start. You can sign up on the app. You can sign up on the website. We've got out on Main Street. I think it's in a couple of weeks that you can sign up. Here's the third thing we're saying yes to. We're saying yes to growth. We're saying yes to growing into who he's called us to be, that there are new values I want to aspire to, that there are new behaviors I want to show in my life because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. And as we say yes to him and we invite him into our heart and into our life, we start growing and we create an all new awareness of, yeah, things got to change, but I got to replace them with what's good in Christ instead of the things that I've been replacing him with right now. And Christ slowly works his way in our thinking. And as our thinking changes, our hearts change and our values change and our behaviors change, and we hand over this junk that we've been dragging through day after day after day of life. We just have all of this accumulated luggage and junk and life that we've carried with us. And we just meet Christ and say, Christ, it's yours. I'm literally laying this down at your feet that I can stop lugging it around with me. And instead of this junk, I get freedom. I get this whole new wide open heart, this wide open view, this wide open space in my mind and my thinking in my heart to see it's not what I've brought with me. It's what Christ is going to do in me. It's not who I've been. It's who Christ is calling us to be. It's not all of the things that we've been lugging around for so long. It's Christ transforming us and doing his good work in us, taking what's broken and making us whole, taking what's super self-centered and super self-focused and giving us new hearts to look outward, new hearts of generosity. And we start looking to new values like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and forgiveness and compassion and gentleness. And Christ slowly starts growing in us. And we leave the old behind. To say yes to the new life means I got to leave some of the old behind because it shouldn't go with me. It's been with me too long, and it's time to let it go. There's an old self, one that's been marked by distance and sin and shame and troubles and pain and discouragement and disappointment. And there's old behaviors that I'm not proud of and the regret that goes along with those. And there's a life marked by selfishness that needs to stop. And we're saying, I'm saying yes to a new life, but I'm consciously deciding to leave this old behind, that I want to follow Christ. I want my life to be his. I want my heart, my desires, all that I am to be his, so that when he works in me, I get to be a new creation. I get to experience this new life, this adventure that he's invited into us. But here's his promise. His promise is we aren't in it alone. His promise is he won't ever leave us or forsake us. His promise is he's going to be with us through the highs and through the lows, through the moments of incredible joy and excitement and courage and faith, but also in the moments of fear, also in the depths of despair. We do not walk the valleys alone, that we have a Christ who walks with us, who gives us courage and faith and hope and all that we need to walk through the best and the very worst days of our life. And we won't ever be disappointed in him. We've been disappointed in people before. We've been disappointed in life. We've been disappointed in family. We've been disappointed in ourselves. We've been disappointed in the church. We've been disappointed in religious people who should have gotten it right, but Christ won't ever disappoint us. Christ won't ever put us to shame, because the love of Christ that's in us is greater than every fear we will face. It's stronger than every opposition we will come up against. The love of Christ that is in us gives us all that we need, not to just survive, not to just scrape by day to day, but to become mighty champions for good in this world. That's what Christ is calling us to do. And friends, he stands before us today. He reaches out his hand and says, won't you follow me? Won't you take one more step towards following me in this new life, this new adventure, this new person that I've called you to be? And we all get the choice on how we're going to respond. We all get the choice on saying, yes, I'm in. I want to go where you're going. Because saying yes to Jesus Christ, friends, it is a decision that we will never regret. We will never, ever regret following Jesus Christ. We'll never regret having a life that's been transformed by him. I'm a big fan of Irwin McManus. He's a preacher in Hollywood, California, and he wrote this incredible book called Barbarian Way. If you like to read, pick it up. It's not a very big book, and he's a great storyteller, and he's got this huge, awesome personality, and he loves God. And it's such, every time I read Irwin McManus, like, I want to go charge a field somewhere. Like, I want to, like, pick a fight and, like, really, like, take on some really hard, impossible thing. It's like a shot of adrenaline to my heart. And he tells this story about Robert the Bruce. If you watched Braveheart, you probably remember the guy who turned on Scotland, but then he became the guy that, like, riled all of Scotland up after William Wallace was killed and became known as the Warrior King, fighting for independence from England. And when Robert the Bruce was going to die, he knew he was going to die. He had his friend James Douglas cut his heart after he died out of his body, and he had it embalmed. And James Douglas led the fight for freedom even after Robert the Bruce was gone. And literally every fight they went into, James Douglas carried the heart of their king, Robert the Bruce, and he'd say, fight for the heart of your king. And then he knew he was in a battle that he couldn't win. He takes off Robert the Bruce's heart. He throws it out into enemy territory. And this is what the historians say he said. I mean, they make it sound amazing. He might not have said it exactly like this, but this is what the historians quoted. Forward, brave heart, as ever thou were wont to do, and Douglas will follow his king's heart to die. But listen to what Irwin McManus says. He said, the power of the story awakens within me a primal longing that I am convinced waits to be unleashed within everyone who is a follower of Jesus Christ. To belong to God is to belong to his heart. If we have responded to the call of Jesus to leave everything and follow him, then there is a voice within us crying out, fight for the heart of your king. Said the invitation of Jesus is a revolutionary call to fight for the heart of humanity. We're called to an unconventional war using only the weapons of faith, hope, and love. Said, but nevertheless, this war is no less dangerous than any war ever fought. And for those of us who embrace the cause of Christ, the cost to participate in the mission of God is nothing less than everything we are and everything we have. He's saying, listen, we're meant to live a life that experiences this great fight for the heart of our King. And we fight with faith and hope and love and following Jesus Christ. It's not a call to an easy life. It's not a call to mediocrity. It's not a call to settle in and get as comfortable as possible. It's a call to live a life of adventure. It's not tamed. It's not settled. But it's a call to give all that we have to fight for the name of Jesus Christ in this world. Listen to what he said. Said, you're not intended to be a spiritual zoo where people can look at God in you from a safe distance. Said, you're a jungle where the spirit roams wild and free in your life. Said, you are the recipient of the God who cannot be tamed and a faith that must not be tamed. Said, you are no longer a prisoner of time and space, but you are a citizen of the kingdom of God, a resident of the barbarian tribe. Said, God isn't a sedative that keeps you calm and under control by dulling your senses. He does the opposite. He awakens your spirit to be truly alive. You are most fully alive when you're on an adventure with God. And then let me leave you with these last words he says. It says, Jesus beckons his followers to a path that's far from the easy road. It is a path filled with adventure, uncertainty, and unlimited possibilities. The only path that can fulfill the deepest longings and desires of your heart. So this is the barbarian way. To give your heart to the only one who can make you fully alive. To unleash the untamed faith within. To be consumed by the presence of a passionate and compassionate God. To go where he sends, no matter the cost. Man, aren't those words so good? The very best lives that we are called to live, they live on the other side of fear. They live in the great adventure that Christ boldly invites us to take part of with him. Friends, Christ calls us today saying, won't you follow me? Won't you take one more step into the life of faith and start a whole new adventure with me? Our lives weren't meant to be settlers. We're supposed to be trailblazers, outstepping in faith with Jesus Christ, doing things that have never been done, so that when people look at the church and say, who is God? They say, God is a God of love and compassion and faith, that God is the God of impossible things, that God is alive and doing a new thing that's never been done before. Because our faith is in God, and he is a God who is at work in all of history, in all of creation. God is at work redeeming and restoring those who call on his name. And friends, the invitation to follow Christ is an invitation to faith and courage. And when Christ says, follow me, and we say yes, we'll never, ever regret a life lived following the call of Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with us. I pray, Father, in the quiet and the still of this moment right now, you would reach out your hand and call us by name. Father, I pray that we would not be held back by fear. I pray that we would not be held back by regret or disappointment or shame or just the pain of life that we've experienced up until this day. I pray, Father, that you would instill in us a courage and a faith to walk boldly into this new life with you. Father, I pray that we would hear the invitation to follow Jesus Christ and our hearts would shout yes. I pray, Father, that you would call us by name, that we would stand up today champions for you. Father, I pray that where we've settled, you would stir in us an unsettledness to not stay there. I pray, Father, where we've been held back, that you would give us a new sense of courage, a new sense of hope, a new call to do your good work in this world. Father, I pray that you would put in us a holy discontent, that we would not stay where we are, but Father, we would stand up in faith in the name of Jesus Christ and be lights for you in this world. I pray because of it that Christ would do an awesome work in us and through us, and the name of Jesus Christ would be glorified in all that we do. In his name I pray. Amen.